Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. We're going to actually look at a couple. We're going to look at some of Acts chapter 4 and some of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." That's kind of interesting. It looks like when they arrested them, they arrested the guy that got healed too. I mean, it doesn't explicitly say that, but it certainly implies it. And it says, "But when they had commanded them," verse 15, "when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men, for that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach, in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, excuse me, mercy, I can't help stop yawning tonight. Said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shewed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined beforehand to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, I'm not going to finish the rest of the chapter, but all of those things go into being filled with the Holy Ghost and being Spirit-filled Christians. But notice the things that happened. They were threatened. And then when they were threatened, they took a stand, and then they went and prayed. And the end result was that they asked God to do things that they themselves could not do. They asked God for miracles. And they asked, and it said when they prayed, it said the place was shaken. And they asked for boldness. And they asked that God would do miracles. And it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So they continued. And then we get into chapter 5. And of course, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. But after that, in verse 17, it says, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they found them not in the prison. They returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut up with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, this passage, this scripture that we've read, is the apostles' interaction with those that opposed them, those that threatened them. And in both cases, you see what they did. They spoke the truth. And they laid it on the line when they talked to these people. And they said, in verse 29 of chapter 4, we ought to obey God rather than men. Excuse me, chapter 5, verse 29. All right. And in chapter 4, they said, in verse 19, they said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So that's chapter 4, verse 19 and 20, and then one I read was 5 and verse 29. And so you want to notice something, that the focus was to obey God. The focus was to be a witness of the things that they had seen and heard, and to obey God. All right? So therein is the focus that they had. Now, both times they were threatened for taking this stance. And the second time they were beaten. And the people wanted to kill them. All right? But God used Gamaliel to change their minds. Gamaliel's counsel is really not that sound. They want to kill, think about this, they want to kill the apostles. And that's their plan. We're going to kill them. And he says, now wait a minute, you don't want to do that because, you know, there was this fella, by the name of Thutis, and he boasted himself to be somebody, and about 400 men joined themselves to him, and he was slain, and they all scattered. Now, isn't that what they wanted to do, was kill him? And then he says, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all as many as obeyed him were dispersed. Now he says, you need to let these people alone. You don't want to kill them unless you're fighting against God. He said, if it's of men, it'll come to naught. If it's of God, you can't overthrow it. Less happy you'd be found to fight against God. Now that's an amazing thing. What most people don't see is that's pretty much a miracle. Gamaliel got in there and argued the very point that they had in their mind, if we kill these people, we'll stop it. And he argued the very same point that they were planning, and used that very same point to get them to change their mind and just beat them and threaten them again. That's what you call a miracle. Gamaliel's argument's not a very good one. You ever think about that? Sometimes we look right at the scriptures and we miss the hand of God. God's showing that God can overcome. God can take their own argument and turn them around. And use somebody who's just a self-important person, you know. I'm sure Gamaliel was a good sort of fella, but he's not somebody I would like to stand up for me in a court of law. So God preserved them during that time. They were threatened and they prayed. They were beaten and they rejoiced. And they kept on doing what they were told. And it says finally in verse 42 of chapter 5, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, folks, we have got to find a way to be that type of Christian, that type of church. That is what we need to be. This is not earth-shattering or anything like that, but just look at what they did. They took a stand and they did not change. I remember hearing a preacher one time preach a message called Truth or Change. Truth or Change. And what happens with people when we begin to abandon the truth, we change. You go over to the book of Romans, they change the truth of God into a lie. Right? And too often, we have a tendency to abandon the truth and change. Just look at the way we are now. If you preach what the Bible says about a lot of subjects, people just, they can't comprehend it. How can you be so legalistic? How can you do that? They cannot comprehend it. Why? Did the truth change? No, they changed. If you were to get up and say that men and women are supposed to look and behave in many ways differently, that's discriminatory. I'm not talking about the wackadoodle people out in the media and the college professors and those people and the lost. I'm talking about in churches. If you were to say that a woman shouldn't be a pastor in a lot of places, well, that's just old. It's truth of change. There's so many things that our culture in this generation has changed rather than adhering to the truth. And this is one of them. You know, what we're seeing happen in our nation today has the potential to have dire consequences. It's just how far they're going to allow it to go. I mean, I was talking to my oldest boy earlier this evening, and because of all the things in the news, and we were talking about what led up to this. And, you know, the courts, they sit there and you have all these people that allege that there's been voter fraud, and they've had videos where people are seen doing questionable things that bear witness. Like, you need those people that were doing those questionable things. One would think that, you know, if somebody's in there and they run everybody out, and then you got them on video pulling out boxes out from under tables and stuff like that nobody had seen before, and start feeding in envelopes into a machine after they said that, especially after they said we're going to stop counting. Can you explain to me? I mean, that's why you can't figure this out. Can you explain to me why, in a matter of 4 or 5 hours, they can count, quote, 98% of precincts reporting? They got 98% of it, and they're still counting now. Can you explain that? And then people take it to the courts, and what do they say? They take it to the courts, and they say, well, you don't have standing. Well, who does have standing? It's not our business to tell you that. And then they get there and they say, well, you can't do anything about it now. It's already done. There's a lot of terrible things that are going on that really aren't being reported. And this culture has a tendency, is tending toward dissolution. I mean, we can't have a decent conversation anymore. Because the mere act of disagreement is now called sedition and hate and every other thing. What does that mean for us? That means that if we preach the Bible, the people that disagree are going to accuse us of hate. And then eventually, they're going to continue, they're going to become punitive. And we will have a decision to make. And I'm just saying we need to make the decision now. You know, the best way to make a decision in your Christian life is to make your decision before you get to the point to where you have that. I play in my life a lot of what if games. I think about things, I ponder on things, I say, okay, what am I going to do if something happens to one of my children? What am I going to do if one of my children gets sick? What am I going to do if my wife gets sick? What am I going to do if I get sick? What am I going to do if a tragedy happens, an accident happens? I know a lot of Christians that go through that, and people that profess to be Christians, they go through their life, la-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da, and then tragedy hits or sickness hits or something like that, and then they're all mad at God, and they don't understand why God allowed this to happen and everything like that. I hear that more from Christians than I ever do from lost folks. Because, why? They never conceived that they might have to face that. Even though Christians before them and many Christians throughout the world are facing those very same things. And I looked at that and said, how do I handle it? And I look and I read and I study and I look in the Bible and I found out that many people have already gone through that path and God led them all the way through. So what am I going to do? I'm going to trust the Lord and do good. I made up my mind how I'm going to respond before I ever get there. I'm not going to respond based upon my anguish and my pain. I'll take my anguish and my pain to the Lord and cast those cares upon Him and continue to do what I'm supposed to do. And as we look at this culture, that's what we're going to have to do as a church. What churches are doing now is the world becomes more hostile, they're toning it down. We don't want to offend anybody. But I want to show you some things that they said. Look at what they said. Let's go back and look what the apostles said. Look at the truth here. All right. Chapter 4, verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they further threatened them, they let them go. All right, now, because they were worried about the people, how the people were going to react if they punished them. But notice what they did. They said, look, he said, we can't. You make up your mind. Do we, you know, whether it's right for us to listen to you or listen to God? We can't help but speak the things which we've seen and heard. And earlier, notice what he said. If you go back to verse 8, when they first confronted them, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And then it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." All right? So that makes it pretty clear. But notice he said, "You crucified him." Right? And then you go over to chapter 5 and we find out another thing. In verse 28, verse 27, "And when they had brought them, and they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Now, I could see Joel Osteen or somebody like him sitting there blinking his eyes and lifting his head up and saying, "Oh, we really didn't mean it that way." You know? But they didn't do that, did they? They looked him in the eye and they said, then Peter and the other apostles said, you know, one of their complaints was, "You want to bring this man's blood upon us," right? And what did they say? "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." They said, "You're trying to bring this man's blood on us." And they said, "You're guilty of his blood." They didn't back down, did they? They stayed true and let the ships fall where they may. Like Paul said, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what they did. And he said, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. And then God intervened. Now, let me ask you a question. Would God have intervened on their behalf if they had decided, "Well, we'll do what you say. We'll compromise. We want miracles, but we want miracles without doing our part. We don't want to stay where God wants us to be. We want God's direction." Let me ask you a question. Does a boat that's not moving need to be steered? If we're not doing anything, what need does God have to give us guidance other than to get moving? Do you see the point I'm trying to make to you? We've got to figure things out. Individually, as a church, how we're going to do things. We're going to move forward on a lot of different things as we go through this, but we've got to be committed to doing things. We've got to accomplish some things. We've got to figure it out and get it done. And, mailers are going to be one thing. Brother Larry talked about maybe having the prayer meeting and then go soul winning, and that's a good idea, and things like that. We're going to have limitations. We're going to have oppositions. But we've got to find ways to do it. I remember a time when we went a lot of different places just to do things. There's so many options open to us. There's street preaching. Do you know that you can be a street preacher and not even say a word? We can make a display and just have somebody stand there and put it up and hold it up, point to it. That's one way to do it. It's better than doing nothing, isn't it? You know, there's ways to do things. We can figure out something. We've got to find ways to do that. We've got to get missions minded again. We've got to get, you know, focus on trying to accomplish things. Got to encourage people to come back to church. Got to encourage visitors. Got to do everything we can. You know, it's a discouraging thing when we get visitors and the only visitors that come are the ones that are looking for a handout. And then we try to help them and we do a little bit for them. We do what we can for them. And then after that, we don't see them again, right? That's a discouraging thing. I understand that. But God didn't do that. They did that. God wasn't dishonest. They were. And like I said before, if we do it with the right heart attitude, we don't lose anything anyway, do we? We actually gain. Lay up treasure in heaven. So, amen. But you notice what they do. And everything they did at the first time, they prayed and God answered. They were bold. And after this, they ended up rejoicing. They were thankful and rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And it said, they daily in the temple and from house to house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They kept on doing it. How often did they do it? 3 times a week? You know? Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday and Thursday. Daily. In the temple. From house to house. There's the real formula. If you want a formula for church, there it is. Somebody's just got to believe God and do it. Find a way to accomplish it. So, why don't we turn our prayer toward doing that? Don't we just make up our mind that we're going to obey God rather than men? How many in here have ever seen God do a miracle? Raise your hand. Well, they started fussing at him, but they said, we can't but help but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Just something to think about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God and thank you for the challenge from the Word of God. And Lord, help us as a church to accomplish these things which need to be done. And I know, Lord, there's administration and things that have to be done and there's jobs and livelihoods and things that need to be accomplished. But none of these things have caught you by surprise, even though so often they become the means by which we excuse ourselves from doing the work of the Lord. Father, help us to not do that. And above all, help us not to yield to the threatenings of the world, but rather be willing to suffer if need be and always take those burdens to you and look for you to do the miraculous, do the things that we ourselves cannot do, and that you'd grant us the boldness we need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.